The sense of I is a gift, a divine gift. It's when that sense of I becomes primary rather than instrumental. That's when the issues arise, right? So the self-sense starts to take the center and begins to appropriate to itself what isn't its own. That then becomes hell, becomes that which drives us and pulls us away from our true center. So this whole thing is moving toward the exposure and ordering of what's captured in the idea of the death of the firstborn, which is knowledge without practice, or the idea that knowledge alone can save is probably another way of thinking about it. And so the whole sense of selfhood that takes itself to be substantial and an independent, autonomous being is tied to this idea of what's in the text termed natural goodness and memory knowledge. Those two things are things that go together. So natural goodness is not goodness. Natural goodness is what covers and conceals the deprivation of the state. And it needs memory knowledges in order to spin the delusion that it is something substantial. So it appropriates what is of the Lord, which is, you know, life and everything that goes with that, to itself and calls itself I am. And so the beginning of this whole reading in the very early stages was the revealing to Moses the name of the Lord. You know, I am that I am, or I will be what I will be. And placing that at the center rather than me as I am. And so when our sense of self is appropriating the center, becoming proprium, everything that enters, even things that have a spiritual aspect to them and seemingly are good, and in essence are good, but as soon as it enters that realm of proprial acquisition, it's all spun to support the self-sense at the center, Pharaoh. And we have this idea in logopraxis, which we've spoken about in the past, is that truths kind of operate like a bit of a Trojan horse. So we take those truths in, or proprium appropriates those truths to itself and builds its sense of self, not realizing that within those truths is what is good. And good is always understood in relation to the end. So truths will always be working to expose what prevents love, genuine love, ruling. And so you have ultimately proprium in this case, and in the story here that we've been reading in this session, comes to a place where there is an aversion even in relation to the most exterior forms of truth, the vessels, because now there's no way of avoiding being exposed. And so that separation, so through praxis, there comes this clarifying of things and distinctions being drawn, whereby what is no longer serviceable to the spiritual life is being pushed out into its own place of identified as hell. So there's talk here of damnation, and damnation is not something done to something. Damnation is a state. So proprium, it is damnation itself. It's not something put upon it. It's just what it is, because it can't have anything good or true that's genuine associated with it. So when the good and truth it uses to cover itself is removed, all that's left is what is damned, is what is hellish and destructive so far as the spiritual life is concerned. So just circling back, so natural good seeks to cover and conceal, whereas spiritual good seeks to strip back and expose. So spiritual good is practice. It's the practice of truths in an effort for self-examination and repentance. natural good's not involved in that, has no conception that that even is a thing. So one is not involved in anything to do with spiritual examination, whereas the other, that's its function, that is the good. So the term good, if it's genuine, always looks to the Lord's end, which is the salvation of the human race or the regeneration of the human mind. It's the same thing. So that's how it's always got to be framed. So the spiritual aspects which are represented by the sons of Israel have to find a release from the power of Egypt or proprium, which is believing appearances to be real or believing in oneself as a independent, autonomous being. All of that is now reaching a point where that's being stripped right back and the true nature of things is being revealed. And so when you see that the firstborn of the Egyptian state, or the firstborn of a sensory-based or sensual-based form of religion is the separation of faith from charity, then like it becomes clear that that has to be dealt with, otherwise liberation and salvation can't occur. So the whole process here is about having what is of the Lord within the mind restored to the Lord and to his ends, you know, the uses. So that's the shift of the silver and gold vessels. So interiorly, you know, it's not a case of asking anything. It's a product of the process unfolding, is that those things which are vessels are then restored back to what is good and true, what's termed in the reading as the spiritual church or the sons of Israel. So now those vessels are able to be used for the purpose for which they were originally provided. So up until that point or state, the vessels are being used to support uses that are associated with the infernal proprium. So they can be utilized by either. So again, you know, like if you think about it, about it being the letter of the word, the letter of the word can be used to support my belief in myself through creating natural religion and all of that, supporting my ego and what have you, right? So the same vessels are being used, but they're being misused in that sense. And so when person, place, time and space are starting to be put off, and the vessels then are starting to support the interior life of inner reflection, repentance, those sort of aspects of inner life, then those vessels are taken out of the hands of the Egyptians, the sensory or sensual operations, and are being given to a higher level operation, which is the spiritual aspect.
Yeah, one of the things that just stood out to me on that is how through praxis, terms that are common are redefined. So those vessels that are taken in a way which, you know, words like charity, church, good, truth, you know, they're terms that can be, from a purely historical faith point of view, understood in one way, and then it's not until we begin to practice them that they start to take on a different meaning, and kind of speaks to me, at least, of the transfer of those vessels for a different purpose, so that, you know, it's just what was posted regarding substitution of terms. I'll just read that first number of the series, which is 7752. So just swapping out good with practice and truth, the understanding of the word, so that you just get a very different perspective on what's being spoken about. So all things in the universe bear relation to practice and understanding of the word. That which does not bear relation to practice and understanding of the word is not in divine order, and that which does not bear relation to both together produces nothing. Practice is what produces, and understanding of the word is that by which it produces. So it kind of illustrates that swapping out of vessels when
there's a movement towards using those vessels for the use to which they are given, which is to support the regeneration of the human mind.